criticizing trade practices that he thinks are unfair toward the United States. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Consumer products giant Kimberly-Clark is cutting as many as 5,500 jobs, up to 13% of its workforce. The company tries to lower costs. Kimberly-Clark makes Huggies and Kleenex, among other brands. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 5.5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. The news, of course, is always brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 7 days a week, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Walk-in humidor, great service. They have it all. Right there at Tobacco and Brew. Good morning, everybody, and good morning to Linda.
Good morning, and good morning, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, everybody, how's your Tuesday? We're going to be talking a little bit about five things you must know on Tuesday. But I want you to know that it's today's going to be partly sunny with a high near 54. It's currently 43 degrees. We're going to have light and variable winds. Tonight, rain mainly after 4 with a low of around 42. Tomorrow is rain with a high near 48. And Wednesday will be rain before 10 p.m. I just think that every way we've looked at it is that our rain is going to be, or Wednesday is going to be just a rainy day. How are we doing over there on the sound, Bob? You gave me a weird look.
There's a little, something I'm going to be tweaking.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Thursday day showers likely, and then Thursday night showers again. So as our week progresses, we're going to just have showers on Thursday, showers, a chance of showers on Friday, and Saturday shower. So that's all right. We embrace the rain. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Locally owned and operated.
We love that. Hey, a couple of things have happened. The shutdown's over. Schumer shutdown is ended last night. The president signed a 3-week funding bill. During this time, immigration questions won't be addressed, so we'll see what happens there. He wants money. Trump wants money for the wall. He wants money for more law enforcement along the border. He wants that because, you know, frankly, and I don't understand. I don't understand this open border concept that people have here. You know, if this thing about just be an open border, people go back and forth. Wrong. You're a nation because you have borders and you have a common language. You know, ask some of the European nations how that's working for them with borders that are just porous and people come across and they're into their own enclaves, speaking their own languages. They are not assimilating. So it's not working. It's just not working. Here, at least we want to say, look, we want to have a say as the American people, not illegals, but as the American people who can come into our country. What's wrong with that? Tell me what's wrong with that. Oh, you're just people that are brought here as children. Fine. Then come up with a plan for that. Close the damn border. Control it.
The point was made this morning that because this NPR correspondent was badgering a White House spokesman about, well, you're breaking up families. He goes, if they were so concerned about breaking up a family, why'd they leave in the first place?
There you go.
I don't know, but Carl, I would say this is your moment.
Well,
and you know, anyway, so
it just strikes me as idiotic that people, we've come to this point in our nation where we're spending billions of dollars on illegals and not spending those billions of dollars on our citizens who are aged or young and need help. But no, we're spending it on illegals. Why? They're here illegally. Get rid of them.
Because they vote.
Well, there was
how can they vote? They're not supposed to vote.
Do you think our founding fathers, when we put together, you know, as the the United States of America grew to become the United States of America. Do you think our founding fathers wanted, there were rules and regulations of what it was to become a citizen?
Yes. I don't know if they were formed right then, but the ideas of being, of having an open border was not one of the concepts. Anybody that has a nation needs to define itself by its borders. And if it doesn't, then it'll just become overrun. It means anybody can come in. They can do anything they want. Our system and rule of law. The state of California has totally gone over the edge with this sanctuary state because they have now done away with the rule of law that says, that you cannot come here to our country illegally and stay. Well, that's not true anymore. The state of California is saying, oh, no, yeah, sure you can. And if you're an employer, okay, if I'm an employer and the ICE guys say, okay, can we come in? If I say yes because they're feds and they have the right because we think there's somebody here, and I say yes, now the state of California can prosecute me for that. Can you believe that? Because I'm cooperating with the feds over a federal immigration issue. The state can now prosecute me. I almost wish I had an illegal here. This is my work for us. I was here for illegal.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you're right.
Government shutdown.
But here's the other thing. Let me just say this one last thing. Is that when I said, if they're here illegally, just send them back. Well, that's not true in every case. All right. I think kids that were brought here when they were 2 or 3 years old, and they've been here for 20 years, it wasn't their fault. We can find a way of bringing them in, but not everybody that's attached to them up and down the chain of their family. I think we're smart enough to figure that one out. Okay.
Am I interrupting you?
I've got another rant.
Okay, so should I go ahead?
Okay, and the rest of it is yours. Scott eVest. Scott eVest is a company that puts. Have you heard of these? Heard of this vest, Bob? This is probably something you probably like. The Scott eVest. It's got all these pockets.
Oh, I want one.
No. Oh, really? Okay. Well, because the founder and CEO just said that he, you know what? Oh, yeah, he was on a ski lift, and he bragged about it on Twitter and Facebook. Oh, yeah, he says, yeah, we sell to those Fox idiots because they're gullible idiots. They're a bunch of effing morons.
What?
This is what the CEO said, and the company immediately comes out and says, whoa, yeah, he's just kind of like the acting. He's just kind of like the CEO, but he doesn't, really do anything.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Rats.
So there goes your vest, buddy. Should have gotten it before. Anyway, the pushback.
We're talking Fox. Sometimes I like them, and sometimes I roll my eyes
at
them.
So you think that he says they're a bunch of effing morons, just people. People that disagree with him. Oh, because they're on Fox. So that's okay. That's okay then.
Right? I would not. It's not okay for either side to keep disparaging.
That's right. So how do you tell them that I disagree with you with what you've just done?
If I didn't buy from every company that I have some issue or other with, I'd be wearing gunny sacks. There's things about Levi's I don't like.
What about that vest you're
wearing
now?
Could you please explain to me about
the vest? This is from Columbia.
Please explain to me about the vest. People are wondering where I am right now.
We need to do something with her sound. This is totally...
Well, when she raises her voice.
I'm just wondering to know... Thank you. I want to know what's going on with when you talk about the vest. What is the vest?
This e-vest. Bob, tell her what the e-vest is.
Well, it's just there's nothing really special. It's just a vest similar to the Columbia that I'm wearing that has pockets specifically sized and positioned for modern technology. There's nothing really magic about it. What's interesting, though, is if you look on the site, one of their tactical vests actually shows a firearm in the pocket. So I don't think the guy's a total complete screaming liberal. You might be leaning liberal, but there's a lot of companies with whom I personally choose not to walk into a Target because some of their policies. But,
so was this a conversation that was? Did you say it was on the ski lift? Is that what
he's on a ski lift?
So somebody overheard it.
He says, he was talking to the guy, and he says to him, oh yeah, he says
what guy?
The guy next to him in the ski lift. And going
was
up.
This a reporter?
No, it was. Oh.
No. I mean, what?
You'd like me to tell the story?
Yeah, I want to break it apart.
Keep on breaking
it apart. I don't know. Understand what? You
okay,
know.
He was on a ski lift. He's going up. Then the guy says, he said, "Well, I'm, you know, Scott Evest." Oh yeah, he said, "Well, I've heard about that on Fox." He said, "Yeah, we really go to Fox because they're a bunch. We do that because Fox listeners are a bunch of gullible idiots. You know, they are effing morons." And he says this. Now, it wasn't the guy that he said it to that put it on Facebook. It was the CEO himself who put it on Facebook, which got the response. Okay.
Okay. I'll get a list of companies I should boycott.
Well, do that.
Okay, we got to take a break now. So, is the rant over?
No. Yes. For right now.
Okay. Well, let's take a break here. And good morning, everybody. Welcome to
Well, you know, I don't have the vest. I wasn't planning on buying the vest. But this is just an example of people. You know what? Yeah, I do want people to boycott it. And you know why? This is an example of some guy who's made his money off of people and then turns around to his customers and say they're a bunch of idiots. How about if you were how about if you were Nike? Do you think Nike, who is probably liberal, turns around and says our customers are a bunch of you know, effing idiots? No. Because they, you know what, Nike would never do that. They're smarter than that. They're classier than that. This guy is a jerk. So yeah, I would never buy something from that company. But I will take a break.
Thank you. We're gonna take a break here. KCNR 1460.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly, today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Please join us for the State of Jefferson 2018 Banquet and Fundraiser. It'll be held Saturday, February 17th at the Anderson VFW Hall. Doors open at 5 with a catered tri-tip or chicken dinner served at 5:30. You'll enjoy great food and awesome prizes, as well as live and silent auction items. All proceeds will benefit the Jefferson Legal Fund. Tickets are $35 each or get a pair for $60. Cost for a table of 8 is $500 and includes 8 dinners and $600 in prize tickets. Shasta County, call Chris Kellstrom at 530-526-2352 for tickets or more information. In Tehama County, call Patty Smith at 530-586-2166. We'll see you Saturday, February 17th at the Anderson VFW Hall, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. And remember, the time has come for 51.
The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson State of Mind.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR 1460. Okay, government shutdown is, these are the five things that you need to know on Tuesday, according to USA Today. Government shutdown is over, but hard work questions remain. Hundreds of thousands of federal employees are expected to return to work today following a three-day shutdown that gripped the nation's capital. On Monday, Democrats agreed to support the funding bill after winning a commitment from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to bring up an immigration bill. Before then, if there's a bipartisan consensus around a specific proposal, President Trump later signed the bill that will fund the government, though it remains unclear if bipartisanship immigration deal, a deeply polarizing topic with hardliners in both parties for years, can be reached before next month's deadline. What do you think?
I think that the Schumer blinked and that it was stupid to shut down the government, just like it was last time. But we'll see what happens. I've already talked about it. I already had my rant on that.
Okay, well, I just wanted to ask you again. That's the five things. Rich and famous flocked to Switzerland for World Economic Forum. The annual meeting of high-powered CEOs, world leaders, academics, and celebrities kicks off Tuesday in the frigid Swiss ski town of Davos. The one percenters won't be hitting the slopes. They'll be discussing everything from worker displacement to Middle East peace.
Okay. I don't have any comment on that.
And he had four others? Well, we're down to three?
Shape of Water leads Oscar noms. And
that's
the race
tied. It's tied with, like, Titanic and all that for the most nominations, but it's one less than whatever the
13 Oscar nominations.
Yeah, 13. I think the record's 14.
That's right. So it's there you go. And that's going to be on March 4th, by the way. And the headlines, too, were Spielberg, Hanks, and let's see who else was, they said snubbed. James Franco.
Franco, though, Franco's have been accused of sexual harassment. So,
is the U.S. becoming politically unstable? New survey says yes. Just 1 year into office, President Trump has fueled perceptions in the U.S. that becoming less progressive and trustworthy. A report released Tuesday finds the study part of U.S. News and World Report's 2018 Best Countries survey also found that 58% of global citizens disapprove of Trump's presidency.
I don't care about global citizens. I frankly don't care, because what impact do they have? Most of them just have their hands out at any one time for us to give them money and to protect their sorry butts.
Australian Open competition, not the weather, heats up in Melbourne even after an eventful week dominated by the brutal heat. Quarterfinal play begins at the Australian Open on today. In both the women's and men's competition, the top two seeds are still in contention. On the men's side, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer are vying for a rematch of last year's final, which was won by the Swiss superstar. An American remains in the final eight in both the women and the men's competition, while Madison Keys plays Angelique Kerber in a quarterfinal match. Do you like watching that?
Nobody hears a thing. I think a big tennis aficionado.
Tennis, golf, tennis, any of those are just like...
I know, it's kind of like watching paint dry.
I do like to watch golf sometimes.
Golf sometimes. But so I can never get into tennis or soccer.
You know what? When we watched the Olympics, I thought that was, pretty cool. Now, you remember the thing about the report that came out about the parents accused of torturing their 13 kids?
Yep.
They dreamed of a reality show.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I must have been.
What, you know?
How do you do that?
That's just amazing. These people obviously
kids marching around, and they said they look like a cult.
They crave
only
see
them at
fame.
Night. You would think that somebody might have called at one time, might have called and said, "Gee, this is." It's a little strange over there. Maybe somebody should stop by.
Well, it seems that the brother of the man who is the father gave interviews to Inside Edition in the Mirror. And he said that his sister was obsessed with Kate Plus 8, a reality show about a couple with eight children, and dreamed of having a similar show about her family.
Yeah, the ones we call them caged. Caged and loved. Yeah. Okay.
Good grief. You know, I maintain that we don't need Hollywood to have monsters because they walk among us.
Mm.
You know, this is really this is really loud. I must have, you know, when I switched over somehow.
Well, are you wearing the other headphones?
No, I'm wearing mine, I think. No, I'm wearing hers. Wow, this is really loud. So
okay, Bob,
anyway,
you probably know this.
I have something.
Okay, you go ahead.
The annual homeless count starts here in Reading today or this week. One of the questions, and this question came from right here when they were on last year talking about this, was ask this question. Where do you come from? Are you a Reading native, or where did you move from to get here to Reading? So this is going to be the annual count to see how many homeless. And they're going to go through the Good News Rescue Mission. They're going to go out and supposedly, I guess, out in the camps and all these things. And they have people with them. So it's going to be interesting how many homeless are out there.
That explains all the cars that were over at the Veterans Hall this morning as I drove in.
Well,
I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, because that's where it's starting at.
Yeah. Well, that's a good survey to find out.
It's a great survey.
How did you get here? Bob, you'll appreciate this. Sky Watchers are going to get a rare triple treat. January 31st, a supermoon, a blue moon, and a total lunar eclipse.
Oh, no. Mm. Not at one time.
It's not happened since 1866.
Yeah.
A year after the Civil War ended.
The signs and portents, people will be falling all over themselves, I'm sure. You know,
it's the end. No. This is the time to start a baby.
A blue moon, which occurs about every 2.5 years, is another term for the second full moon in a single calendar month.
Yes, yes.
Though the exact moment of the full moon is 8:37 a.m., the moon will appear plenty full for a day or two before and after that. However, the moon doesn't actually appear blue.
It's because it's an extremely rare event.
I'm just humming, you know. Blue moon.
The supermoon refers to the fact that the moon is at its
the closest, right?
Perihelion, I think. I may have those two reversed. Anyway, it will appear slightly larger. And it's not like, and you hear crazy stuff like, it'll cover a quarter of the sky. No, it won't. It'll appear slightly larger to the naked eye. And, of course, it is not bigger when it's next to the horizon because you see the horizon and compared to it. In proximity, it appears larger, but actually the diameter of the moon does not particularly change.
Well, the full moon will take on a dark reddish appearance during the eclipse. So another phrase used to describe it is a blood moon. Adding blood the naming moon. Confusion, this full moon was also known as the snow moon by some Native American tribes. Finally, a supermoon occurs when the full moon is at the closest point of its orbit to the Earth, which is also called the perigee.
Perigee, okay.
Perigee.
Yeah.
Okay. That moon makes the moon look extra close and extra bright, up to 14% bigger and 30% brighter than a full moon.
Hmm.
At its farthest point from Earth, known as the apogee.
Mm-hmm.
So we have perigee and apogee.
Yes.
Oh, let's put those names on the words that we learn for the day.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
That's my part.
It's enough to make you loony. Let's go with that.
Just when you thought the NFL could not upset you anymore.
Uh-oh, what happened?
AmVets, the United States' largest veterans organization. The NFL has a program that goes out for the Super Bowl. And in it, the AmVets they put in there two words, please stand. And they NFL rejected this by saying it was too political.
Oh, yeah.
And then, it's too political. And yet you look on the ground, you look down there where people are kneeling all over the place and all this, and that's not political. So the two words from AmVets, the nation's largest veterans organization, of please stand, was too political. They wanted them to change it to please stand for our troops. No, just please stand. So again, the NFL disses veterans. So, yeah, looks like we're not going to go to that Super Bowl party.
Well, we watched the playoffs, and the guys were standing with their hearts crossed.
Yeah, they were. And they were singing.
We did not see anybody. Of course, maybe the network said, don't show a person kneeling.
Maybe they did.
We did not see anybody kneeling. Did you see anybody kneeling?
Nope. And I was watching because I was waiting to turn off the TV.
Okay.
But, no, I didn't see it. In fact, I didn't see it at all. It was a And the flag was out there. Everybody was standing.
So, okay, quickly before we take a break.
Which to me is the way it should be. What's wrong with showing honor to your flag and to your nation, to your veterans?
Before we take a break, I wanted to talk about that 7.9 earthquake that was centered deep in the waters off the Gulf of Alaska, about 175 miles south of Kodiak Island. You know, they had a tsunami fear that they've lifted now, but it was on the West Coast last night, and was, of course, on the West Coast. The National Tsunami Center canceled all warnings and watches, including those for Washington, Oregon, California, Hawaii, and British Columbia. The initial warnings in Alaska along hundreds of miles of coastline scurrying to higher ground. Warnings from the National Weather Service sent to cell phones in Alaska soon after the quake read emergency alert. Don't we love those? We've been having those a lot lately. Tsunami danger on the coast. Go to high ground or move inland.
We met, we ran into some people Saturday night who were in Hawaii. When the alarm went off, and they said that a couple were in their room, and they just said they looked at it, and they go, I wonder what this is. You know, is this something they do here in Hawaii? And then he kind of looked outside the window, and he saw people that were working at the hotel moving people around. But the one that was the from the Rickards that were there, they're in a restaurant with like 100 people, and all at once, every cell phone goes off at one time. Now, Bob, tell me if you were in a restaurant with 100 other people in a, like, say, in a country, or it's not a country, it's Hawaii, but in a place, and in it said a ballistic missile is on its way. These 100 people were up and screaming and running. Yep. So, I mean, this was a kind of thing that was kind of like... So you can understand where there was fear there.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine when every cell phone goes off at one time?
You know what I learned from that? And I know
turn off your cell phone.
No, what I learned from that too is that in having these conversations, is that somebody just informed me recently that if you take your on button and you hit it five times, it automatically 911 will come up. You got to press it five times. 911 will come up. You slide it. If you feel like you're in danger, if you're walking somewhere and there's somebody around you, I never knew that before, but that's an interesting safety thing. No, they showed me.
Oh, they did?
We can get your cell phone out and you can hit it like okay. 1, 2, 3,
well,
4,
we
got
to take a break, but let's listen to Ranger Rick first. Good morning, Ranger Rick.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you missed, I want to fuel some more of your rant that you had earlier about the California government and whatnot. Hey, I was listening to Mark Levin last night. It's on Facebook as well that the state of California wants the California businesses who are reaping the Trump tax benefits to give half of their tax benefits to the state of California so they can redistribute the wealth.
Oh, yeah.
Accordingly.
We hit that one yesterday. Wasn't that fair?
You did.
Isn't that fair? I mean, come on. But even the Sacramento Bee, here's the thing. Even the Sacramento Bee said, this is a stupid, you know, proposition. You know what? We've got to, you know, this is going to do nothing. And, you know, even bringing something like this up is wrong. And then they turned and said, besides, you can do it like this. And go after Prop 13. Go after this. Go after that for the money. I don't know. It's
yeah.
The whole thing. This whole state, you know, down there. They don't care.
Well, you know, I say go for it. Let them do it.
Do it.
Let them accelerate the downward spiral. And I don't think it's going to take a rocket scientist, the average voter, to realize what a mess these people have gotten us into and where they want to take us.
Yep.
Let them go ahead and take it out and redistribute the wealth accordingly. You know, it's they're going to run out of it eventually, and businesses are just going to get tired of it.
Oh, yeah. It's just a matter of time. Okay. Thanks, Ranger Rick.
Hey, by the way, one other thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm joining AmVets today.
Okay, good. Can you believe that they wouldn't put please stand?
I can believe that. But you also have to here's something else for your audience. It was a few years ago, 2 years ago, that a gun company, Daniel Gunn, wanted to run an ad, paid good money for Super Bowl. No, they said that was inappropriate as well.
It's all inappropriate. Unless it's what they want. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Take care.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by SST Oil. The warmth of a Toyo heater and how about this, a water heater where it's running on kerosene. As long as you got kerosene, you're always going to have hot water. And the people at SST Oil always make sure you have kerosene. What can I say? There's nothing better than that. SST Oil, 241-1167. They have fuel cards, they have the kerosene heaters, they have gas and these cards for your company, gas and diesel for your company. Come in there, you get great deals on that. 50 years in the business, starting their 51st, starting their next 50 years. An employee-owned company, and they're looking for truck drivers. That's right. They're looking for truck drivers because they are expanding. So if you are a truck driver with a good record and a hazmat, or even if you don't have the hazmat, they'll train you. 241-1167, SST Oil. We'll be right back with Rachel Hatch.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
What does it take to be called the best of the North State? More importantly, what does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes a business ownership, management, and staff that work together to let their customers know that they're not just customers, they're family. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition Center has held to that commitment. Their commitment to bring to you the best possible products at the lowest possible prices. To never buy closeouts, overstocks, outdated, improperly formulated, or otherwise stressed merchandise. To provide you with a trained professional staff to help you make the right product decisions for the health of you and your family. To listen, to respond, and to always say thank you. Because we realize that we're all in this together. What does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes you. Thank you from everyone at Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Join the Shasta College Opera Workshop for their performance of Engelbert Humperdinck's delightful children's fairy tale opera, Hansel and Gretel, at the Shasta College Theater. The college's talented young singers will perform the famous prayer and all of Humperdinck's beautiful music as they tell the story of two children lost in a magic forest, captured by a wicked and very funny witch. Performances are January 26th, 27th, and February 2nd and 3rd at 7:30 p.m. and January 28th at 3 p.m. Tickets are available online at ShastaCollege.edu/tickets or at the door. $12 general admission and $8 for students and seniors. All performances are in the Shasta College Theater. Don't miss this wonderful children's fairy tale opera, Engelbert Humperdinck's Hansel and Gretel, performed by the Shasta College Opera Workshop, January 26th and 27th and February 2nd and 3rd at 7:30 and January 28th at 3 p.m. For more information, visit ShastaCollege.edu/theater.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning, everybody. It's 23 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here. And it is 43 degrees, going up to 53. Looks like the rain's going to start coming in. It's going to be 36 tonight. Looks like the rain's going to start coming in. We're going to have snow down at the lower levels. It's going to be out on the roads. It's going to be, like I said, if you're heading up north, it's going to be snowy. So be careful. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-2793. This portion of the show is brought to you by North State Security. You know what? They've been providing an ounce of prevention since 1968. It's their 50th anniversary this year. There's a lot of stuff going to be happening with North State Security. And let me tell you, they are the premier security agency in Northern California for a variety of reasons, including the police have asked them to work together so they're as a team force multiplier with the police by keeping the river trail safe. the power stations, all of these. And they're looking for some good men and women. That's right. They're looking for some people to join their team. So you need to give them a call. 243-0295. Lance Beck, his dad started this company, and he's still running it, and he's running it strong. Okay. We're here.
Good morning.
Good morning, honey.
Good morning. And we are here with Rachel Hatch.
Good morning. Good morning.
You have brought in the most wonderful, of course, we're going to have to try to explain this to our listeners, but it's like a community vitality. And you're, you know, tell us about the McConnell Foundation. What's happening? What's this project? Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the how we're moving forward.
The McConnell Foundation, you know, our mission is helping build better communities through philanthropy. And what's new is that the board of the foundation in 2016 decided that they wanted to begin a 10-year focus on downtown revitalization. And so they decided they would call it Community Vitality. I joined, you know, just last year, mid-year, as the work began in earnest. And I think we all, you know, experience why this is the right time to focus on downtown.
Absolutely.
You know, there's potential. There's a lot. You know, we've got our work cut out for us, right? All the community partners. But I'm encouraged to be part of a group that's, you know, when the foundation does something, they do it well. And so I'm really proud and excited to be a part of that.
So we're very excited because we're looking at these wonderful, like I said, these PowerPoints and pictures of the fact of what's happening. Now, tell us about the police station. That's the first visual we can go to.
Mm-hmm.
You guys bought the police station right behind us here. And what are the plans?
So when escrow closes, what we're excited about doing right away is to focus on that warehouse space. If any of you all listeners have driven by and you see those kind of red slats in the fence, when you go around, you wonder what's in there. There's this amazing set of warehouse bays, which, you know, would be perfect for doing things like temporary art installations or a pop-up farmer's market, like a temporary use of a farmer's market. Right now we're in this stage where people are putting forward all these different ideas about what downtown needs, and this is an opportunity to use it like a proving ground, you know, to test this idea, prototype some of what might be possible, and then figure out, you know, where might that go in a more permanent sense in downtown.
I think it's a good idea, prototyping things like that, because maybe you find that, okay, this one doesn't exactly fit in, but
right.
The next one really is it's a home run.
Right.
Is this online anywhere?
Yeah, the McConnellFoundation.org. I should say it's McConnellFoundation.org is the URL, and there's a community vitality kind of area there where you can see a lot of this.
You can see a lot of this because when you're looking at it and you're looking at the highlights so far and the plan, but when you put pictures to it, so you can kind of visualize it, because a lot of times people say, okay, this is what it looks like, and here's two grant applications. But when you take a look at what it can look like and what it's planned on looking like, that's just fantastic. So, and especially with all the other growth that's going on down here.
Yeah, this is a catalytic moment. And I think, you know, change comes with is very complex, right? There are things that we want to look forward to. There are things that are difficult to navigate when change happens. But there's so much potential that's happening in each of these different spaces. And these visuals, I should say, were created by Ryan Russell, Russell Studios, and Trilogy Architecture and Coachman Architects. We're working with just a top-notch team.
The focus areas. I may have been going through your – see, this is what happens when you bring in great – handouts. One of us is talking and the other one's going through the handout. So I'm not sure if you said this or not, so forgive me, but the five focus areas, did you already say that?
Right. So the first step when you have a new program area is to say, well, what does community vitality mean? What does that look like for downtown revitalization? And so the first step was defining how are we going to focus on this? And the five areas we've landed on are creative placemaking, which is about turning unremarkable spaces into really remarkable spaces that we tell stories about and that we feel a sense of belonging and attachment to. Civic engagement is all about, you know, the people of this place feeling a sense of responsibility for it. Fostering local is the third focus area, and this is about, you know, the maker movement. Some of you have probably heard that there was a maker fair last year here where people who produce things all got together, thousands of people at the Civic Auditorium. There's a really vibrant scene there, so it's about fostering that local system. future readiness is about looking, you know, around the corner to figure out what's coming and how to anticipate that at a community scale. And then active lifestyles is really about building from our strengths. We have a world-class trail system, world-class fly fishing here, and we could really stand to lean into those areas.
You know, we used to have a Segway company here in town. I guess they just couldn't make it. I think that maybe it was before its time. I think Segways.
At the bridge, it was fabulous.
That's right.
I think Segways would be a cool thing to have. You know, I mean,
Cross the bridge.
Can you picture? Because we have, you know, place it downtown. The parking's not going to be here, so I'm going to have to park in other areas. So that here, take a Segway downtown.
Have either of you tried an electric bike?
No, I have not tried that. Is that cool?
Amazing. And I think it stands to, you know, increase accessibility of biking to people of all different ages. So I picture, you know, this is a place that's very popular as a retirement destination. And I think there could be a lot of, you know, say couples who want to go out on the trail. Maybe one is super into cycling and the other one is sort of, okay, let's go. And honestly, one of these electric assist bicycles is a great option for a lot of people.
I have seen that. You know, the other thing too, what you just said about, and we need to take a break here, about retirement. We haven't really scratched the surface yet on what kind of retirement community Redding could be. And I'm sure that it's in there someplace. But it's the type of places, there's a 1 degree difference between here and Palm Springs, if you look at it. Plus, we have the mountains, we have the lakes, we have the trails, and we're only 3 hours from the ocean. I'm not sure why we have not really gone out and said, look, what a great place to retire. And you'll see other areas that they go after retired military. They market to retired military because retired military, you know, they've got a set income. They've got savings. They've gotten out of the military. They've bought their houses and all this. And now they're ready to settle down someplace. And why not someplace that
– You did.
I did. Mm-hmm. Why not here? This is a great place. Now we need to take a quick break. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at
All right, what are you going to do?
Bastiani Arms. I'm sorry. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Redding. You know, it's locally owned, locally operated, started about the same time we did, and John and Sarah have just done a wonderful job. This is the only place that Linda and I would buy a firearm. They've got all the accessories. They've got great classes on concealed carry and hunter safety. They have it all there, and veterans get discounts at Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur. Right here in Redding, open Tuesday through Saturday. We'll be right back with Rachel Hatch and McConnell Foundation and the future.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia. Kia, America's best value.
Today, you can lease a 2017 Kia Forte for just $169 per month plus tax. Just $19.99 cash or trade due at signing. No security deposit. Cap cost $19,200.
Choose from six at this offer. $169 per month for 36 months for a brand new 2017 Kia Forte. Highest ranked compact car and initial quality. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
Get 0% financing for 75 months on four Redding Kia's most popular new 2018s. Drive America's best value.
We've been driving Kias for years. Come to Redding Kia, America's best warranty, complimentary lifetime oil changes, and so much more.
Plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, any electronic filing charge, any emission testing fee on approval of credit subject to prior sale. 36,000-mile lease, 0% offer is $1,333 per thousand financed. Must lease or finance through KMF, ends 131.
Redding Kia, RedingKia.com.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio is here in the epicenter, ground zero of the changes in downtown Reading. That's what we're talking about. This portion of the show is brought to you by one of the people that's right down here in downtown Reading with us, and that's Cornerstone Community Bank. Their newest branch is on 1845 California Street, just south of Jack's. Your friends giving great customer service, helping move local dreams forward. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. Try them out. Go down. See their new hours. See how they want to treat their customers. It's outstanding.
Don't you feel the change? Hey, it's currently 43 degrees in the downtown studios. Today will be partly sunny with our highs of 54. Slight chance of rain today with our lows of 42. As Wednesday approaches, heavy rain tomorrow with our highs of 48. And tomorrow, lows of 36. Just give you a couple days here. Showers throughout the week. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Okay, we're here with Rachel Hatch from the McConnell Foundation, and she's the kind of the community, what's your title?
Program Officer for Community Vitality.
Community Vitality. There it is right here in front of me. Okay,
and
we've been
you.
Talking about all these ideas. Okay, the five focus areas, creative placemaking, civic engagement, fostering local, future readiness, and active lifestyles. Mm-hmm. All of these things that fall in here. Looking at the new... The concepts of downtown. What else is going on here?
So you may have heard that we've been looking at the Bell Rooms building, which is at the corner of, what is it, Shasta and California.
Yes.
And this is a building that, like many, it has been underutilized, kind of abandoned, vacant. And, this, you know, when you see that, you can look at it and feel depressed about the state of things, or you can say, there's potential here, and let's unlock that in some way. So what we've looked at for that building is an adaptive reuse project, which basically means, you know, taking some of the brick structure that's there. You know, brick is back, right?
In
terms
of
the aesthetic.
Yes.
So, you know, peel off the white paint, begin to see some of that historic red brick that's characteristic of that district of the downtown area. And we're looking at renovating that to make it into a bike-themed cafe, restaurant type of concept. And then also creating a really nice plaza open space area with some, you know, covered seating, a sheltered kind of area to protect from the hot summer. And then to be able to have a new structure on that same site that operates as like a bike depot, a place where someone can rent a bike, say, by the hour or by the day and be able to have access to that. Because right now, there's a new bike trail that's coming in, the Diesel Horse to Downtown Loop, and people will be wanting to get their bikes right there along that part of town.
So there's a new bike trail that's coming up. Okay, that's nice to
and
know.
And it's funded, so it's not just a pretend thing, you know, possibility. This is for real.
This is happening.
Oh, this isn't one of those things that are just drawn
this
there.
Isn't
no,
idea.
This is real. Oh, gosh.
Diesel Horse Bridge is just one of the most beautiful. When people come to visit, I not only take them to Calatravis, I really want them to see when you stand at the Diesel and you look at the mountains and you see the river, that is just one of the most stunning bridges. And our friend McConnell, Doug McConnell, painted the most fabulous, took a picture, excuse me, I'm going to put it in our entry here when we redo our entry, because that's another one of those just classic, beautiful structure. So you're going to be able to bike over the diesel horse.
Mm-hmm. Connect to the river trail system, you know, come back into downtown, grab a coffee at Theory Collaborative that's on California Street, or grab a, you know, a drink somewhere on the gated, the outdoor plaza. So really, this is a place for people who want to, you know, see downtown as a destination that's like at the beginning or the end of a bike adventure, or also for people who are living downtown, because we really think that more, that's, you know, crucial to community vitality in downtown is people living there. Right now, you know, everybody complains, understandably, that it's like a ghost town at night in downtown. And people don't feel safe.
Not at 2 in the morning.
And, well, it's changing. You may not want to be there. And so what we need is more people who are living there, because then there's more eyes on the street. There's crime prevention through environmental design.
People are out there, and you've got, if you have a vital downtown, then you're going to have restaurants. Then you're going to have places where people might have a dinner and then go to another place where they're listening to music. And
afterwards,
and they're out walking along. Everybody's out. If you get a theater downtown, I'm not talking Cascade, which has great things, but I'm talking about like a movie theater. You know, to have something like that downtown, you know, even if it's a single screen.
I saw this happen in Sacramento. I grew up in Sacramento, and to watch how the lofts were built and the whole K and the J Street has now become this bustling area with restaurants and walking and biking, and it's just, it's become the place to go and be. And that at one time wasn't like that, even 10 years ago. So that's something that's just happened, and I can see the vision, and I think it's wonderful. Talk about your two grant applications.
So this is an attempt to really bring an infusion of dollars from the state level to our community. Similar grants to what the K2 Dickers Project was, for any of the people listening who are familiar with that. So this is two grants. One is an Affordable Housing Sustainable Communities grant. So that's picture, you know, a four-story mixed-use building. Linda, you were looking at this, the image that has the art mural along the wall. And, you know, this is right in the heart of the cultural district, the Reading Cultural District. So we want to think about how culture, you know, interplays with people living downtown. It also allows for some additional bikeways, some pedestrian improvements, because, you know, you want a more walkable downtown for it to be a thriving downtown. And then there's the infill infrastructure grant, which is an effort to try to increase the parking supply, particularly for people who are living there in that development, for people who are using the transit station across the street, that sort of thing. So these are the two. The applications are in.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be some parking someplace around here, because people go, well, you know, they got to get used to parking. Well,
walking.
I mean, walking. Well, yeah, they will eventually. But then, if we want to start, if we're looking at bringing in a high scale community, a retirement community, you know, that there's got to be a way. There's got to be mobility is cool. I mean, you know, moving sidewalks or, you know, moving sidewalks. Wow. Now,
I haven't seen any of those in any of our examples yet.
How about, you know, but we could do is import those bicycles, you know, with that. Those little things that you used to see in Hong Kong, you know, carrying people around.
I know.
We call them pedicabs, you know, where the guys, you know, you put two or three people in the back and he pedals you around town. I think there's a spot ready for this at some point.
Well, they do it in New York.
They do it everywhere. They do it in San Diego.
Yeah.
You can see that happening.
Anyway, going back to...
Last thoughts. Bring it in.
So I just want to mention, we've been talking a lot about some of the buildings that are on the horizon, but we also, as part of Community Vitality, are doing grant making, which is, you know, quite traditional for the foundation to be involved with. That includes a grant in support of the Reading Cultural District. And for any of you listeners who haven't heard of this, this is the state has recognized 14 communities all across California for a designated cultural district. And I think we made it into this class because they had a category that's for rural and emerging cultural districts. And so we're really proud to have this opportunity to really better connect some of the cultural assets that we have. That's one of the grants. Another grant is to Shasta Living Streets to do a parklet, a permanent parklet. So this is a way of taking a sidewalk that, again, just feels kind of unremarkable and being able to convert some of that into outdoor seating. Because, again, we need more people just out and about in downtown. So those are a couple of examples.
I like to see trees downtown. You know, I mean, we have trees, but I mean, like in the corner right down here, of Placer and Market Street. Right there, trees there that you can see. Or trees right around here because it makes it more of a community type thing.
There's trees in those pictures.
Now, where was this? And you can go, again, McConnellFoundation.org. And you can look at this under the community vitality, and you'll see these. Is that correct?
Or ones like images, this? Yes.
Yep. Or these are just what it could look like, or is this a specific area you're looking at? That
so for the one that you're holding up, this is the multi-story housing. And for that, we're looking, if you know where the downtown Shasta College campus is,
yes,
it's adjacent to that. It's
okay
on the northern part of what is the current parking structure in downtown. And you probably know that the, like any structure that has a limited lifespan.
Oh, no,
so we're trying to think about
how to
be creative about that. And so, you know, picture somebody really living in the core of the core and being able to walk to restaurants, businesses, and the like.
Wow, that just flew by way too fast. So we need you to come back again next month.
We should have you back next month.
Yes, Rachel. There's so much to hear about. What's happening with all the wonderful developments that are going on in the North State here in Reading as well.
Okay, Rachel Hatch, thank you so much. We're going to take a break for the news. We're going to have Barry Tippin, the city manager, and he's got some big news about some things that they're looking at here in the city. So we'll be right back.
And the news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
The Marshall County High School has been apprehended. The Benton, Kentucky school has been placed on lockdown.
Correspondent Jeremy Howe says Benton is about 120 miles northwest of Nashville. Attorney General Jeff Sessions interviewed in special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. A Justice Department spokesman says the interview took place last week. And the Attorney General is vowing an all-out search for 5 months' worth of missing text messages from a pro-Clinton FBI agent who had been a part of the Russia investigation. The texts lost by the FBI were communications between Peter Stroke and FBI lawyer Lisa Page. Can Democrats and Republicans agree on a contentious immigration issue by February 8th? That's the new deadline for some kind of deal on DACA.
The president tweets, "Nobody knows for sure whether Republicans and Democrats will be able to reach a deal by then," though he says everyone will be trying.
As Washington correspondent Sagar Magani, by trying to tie the fate of the so-called Dreamers to a government funding bill, Democrats brought on the latest partial government shutdown. Republicans accusing them of caring more about illegal immigrants than the American military and U.S. citizens. No reports of any damage yet from that 7.9 earthquake that struck early this morning in the Pacific off Alaska, and a tsunami warning has since been canceled. On Wall Street this hour, stocks in positive territory. The Dow is up about 21 points. The NASDAQ trading 47 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Interested in trading as a way to generate extra monthly income? Listen up. Before you sign up for some garbage program or awkward in-person seminar, you really need to hear about the online trader program that everyone's talking about. This is the program that allows you to get your account funded with someone else's money. That's right. Apiary Fund will gladly put up to $100,000 of their money into your trading account. And the best part? You get to keep 85% of the profits without putting in a dime of your own money. Apiary Fund and this program are growing like crazy. As a special offer, Apiary Fund is allowing our listeners to get started for free. Just call 800-959-4526 and leave us your email address, and we will send you all the exciting details of how to trade Apiary Fund's money and not your own. Call 800-959-4526 and leave your email address on the voicemail. Your free report will be sent right away. 800-959-4526. That's 800-959-4526.
China is among countries blasting President Trump's imposition of steep tariffs on imported solar panels and washing machines.
This looks like, and it is, the beginning of a trade war between the United States and its long-term ally, South Korea, and its rival, China. Now, the Chinese government won't be surprised by this, but in reaction, it's expressed its strong dissatisfaction out of the decision coming from President Trump, saying it believes that the U.S. is now a threat to the international trading system.
That's the BBC's Robin Brandt. Vice President Pence is reiterating to Israeli leaders that the Trump administration does plan to pull out of the landmark 2015 Iran nuclear deal unless the pact is amended. The remarks came as Pence wrapped up his visit to Israel. Yesterday, he repeatedly referred to Jerusalem as Israel's capital, speaking alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. News and analysis at townhall.com. The opioid epidemic now has some schools stocking a powerful, life-saving drug.
Houston ISD police are now arming themselves with a spray that can help combat an overdose on school campuses. School board members voted to accept a donation of more than 400 doses of Narcan spray from Kaleo Pharma, the company that makes the drug. The donation valued at $72,000. Narcan can reverse an opioid overdose and prevent death. School officers have trained on how to use the pods and will start carrying Narcan in the next few weeks. Reporting.
Looks like Elon Musk has a new deal. He'll remain at Tesla under a 10-year all-or-nothing pay package, one that demands massive growth by the company. The agreement requires Tesla to grow in $50 billion increments to a staggering $650 billion market capitalization. And on Wall Street, the Dow up 15. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 in downtown Reading with Carl Linda Bott. 5.5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 23rd of January, a Tuesday here, 2018. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. The news, of course, is brought to us by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Open 7 days a week. Just new remodeled, great service still, great customer service, of course, still, and the same great walk-in humidor.
Good morning, everybody, on this beautiful Tuesday. We're going to give you a little update with the weather. You know what? The last time we read it, it's gone down. So we're currently at 38 degrees in the downtown studios. Our highs today will be 54, partly sunny and light and variable wind. Rain tonight, mainly after 4, with our lows of around 42. Wednesday calls for rain. The rain could be heavy at times, high near 48. Then we go into, and we can get gusts up to 18 miles per hour. A little sidebar here. In my car, didn't we just recently say, have this weather warning, gusts could be up to 45 miles per hour in your area? It just came on.
Yeah.
And then later in the day, warning, gusts could come up to be up to 40 miles per hour in your area.
But they had another one that was, it was 45 miles away, too. You know, I mean, it was warning you not just here, but down the road.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Love it.
Scary.
Okay. So Thursday, showers again, cloudy with a high near 46. South winds, 3 to 6 miles per hour, and that's Thursday night, showers. So as we progress throughout the week, it's just going to be showers. Light showers, but Wednesday is heavy rain. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Alliance Heating and Air is bringing us a segment. If you're looking, it's 38 degrees out there going to 36. Oh, your heater's working. If you're having any problems at all, if the filters are dirty, maybe the air duct, something's not working right, of course, Alliance Heating and Air. In a business for over a quarter of a century, voted best in the North State. They're the only ones we let touch our HVAC systems. A veteran-owned business that can give you guarantees and warranties. 221-2642 is the number, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Sitting in our studios today is Barry Tippin. And was it cold outside, Barry?
Not. I had a jacket on.
You
so,
had a jacket on.
You know, so I was good. Yeah.
Good morning.
Okay. I thought you might have just run down here from the City Hall, because I know you like to do stuff like that.
He's a runner.
I used to run. I don't anymore.
Really?
Yeah,
well,
my knees are shot, so I stay on the elliptical and stuff. Yeah.
Welcome to the show this morning. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You know what? Barry Tippin is the kind of guy that when you ask him to be on the show, he's on the show. It's not one of these, you do have to check your schedule. Let's be serious about it. But if there's a way, if something's coming up and something's going on, if I give Barry a call, Barry's there. And I find that very refreshing. Of course, you're the one that started Transparent Reading or something like that. There's actually a place you can click on for transparency in Reading. You can see everything on that website.
Yeah, it's on our main page. There's a... It's called the Transparency Portal, And we're just building it. It's nowhere where it's going to be. But the, one of the first things we did is we put up all our financial information. And so you can go on there and you can see, you know, what our budget is.
Everything.
You can see the past 10 years. You can see what our PERS payments are, you know, and you can see what our current budget is.
Retirements.
Correct.
All of these things. There's nothing. There's they're not trying to hide anything. When people say, oh, blah, 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 this. No, I mean, you can see it right there. And I've used it. And I've, you know, you put your cursor over and it switches, tells you which year and tells you how much. And the percentages, the percentage of the whole budget plus how much it's gone up or down.
Well, so, RU is for the people. So I love the fact that this is our service. We're for you. We're part owners. So let's look online to see what's really going on.
Yeah.
I think that there's some peace of mind to that because there's many people that start to think that if it's a bureaucrat and it's there's always shady areas.
Yeah, and this transparency portal, the intent is every department is going to have information up there. We're going to have information about building and development. We're going to have information from public safety about crime statistics. We're going to have information about our capital projects that our public works department is putting out. And so the intent is to build this so that it becomes this treasure trove of information that people can access. And ultimately, we'll probably end up with a dashboard that has easier information that is readily available, just like a dashboard in your car that, you know, the hot topic information is available.
Well, you know, something like that, because all the other times you'll hear people say one thing, well, this is what it says. And it doesn't. You've got one spot to go to, so that's cool.
Yeah, one of the things we're going to do is, you know, a lot of people are familiar with Transparent California, where you can go on there and you can actually get. Well, we're going to put Transparent Reading. We're just going to put our information, so you don't have to go to Transparent California to get that information. You just go to our website, and you can get all the information for salaries and benefits and everything just from our site.
Where we fall in as far as is pay for our police, because you hear things anywhere. We're the highest paid police department in the world. We're at the 45th and lowest in the nation. But there's somewhere in there that is that going to be part of it too? Is what where we fall or comparisons?
We may ultimately get there. That's probably down the road, but people can always compare that. One thing that I do like about Transparent California is that it has all cities. You can go in there and just sort by cities. You could go in there, and I encourage people to do this when we hired Roger Moore, is to go in there, select all cities, and select police chiefs. And see where he's going to come in. He's way down the line. He is not anywhere near the top.
And that's important that people know that.
Right.
Because otherwise they think, oh, well, you know, he's making more money than the governor or whatever that is. Well, he may be. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much the governor makes. It's too much. Anyway, but the governor. There's some things happening. Let's start talking about that. That the status quo is... The status quo needs to be challenged, I think. And I think that I believe that the city of Reading has come to a point where things need to change.
Well, so I'm looking at Rachel's pictures that she left behind.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, obviously
isn't that something?
There's a lot of things that are going on that the city is a partner with many others to try to make, really – substantial changes downtown and other places within the community to help grow. The other thing that we have been working on ever since June is improving our public safety. And we have done many things in the last 6 months, and I think a lot of that has resulted in positive effect. We've, you know, found other sources of revenue through our public works department. We found other ways. I heard you mention this earlier in terms of partnering with North State Security to make our river trail safer. We have find ways to hire an additional cleanup crew. So everybody talks about Officer Brandon and how awesome he is. Now we have a second crew to help with, you know, cleanup and attacking illegal encampments. But we've reached a point where, in my way of thinking, we really need to talk to the community about what's next. You know, we have done much of what we probably can do. We'll never start or we'll never stop trying to improve. I mean, constant improvement is always going to be something that we need to think about and look at, technology, enhancements, everything else. But there's a certain point with given resources that we can get to. And my observation is that we still are not meeting community expectations. And so we really need to get out, and we're putting on an effort over the next 3 to 4 weeks to really talk to the community about,
information, information about public safety, information about budget restrictions, limitations, information about matching that'll help match expectations to the realities of our resource mix. And, you know, I'm all for stretch goals, but they need to be realistic because you don't want to overpromise to the community and underdeliver.
Okay, so the community, and I've talked to people about this, you know, what do you think about this? You know, is this where we want to be? And the answer, of course, is no. Nobody wants to be where we're at right now, where we have hundreds of these encampments or dozens of these encampments with tons of trash in each one of them. People having their cars broken into, cars. We have friends who just had, for the third time, had their truck broken into. They'd leave nothing in there. So I think they got a dirty set of workout gear, maybe. But they're somehow being able to get into the trucks if they're locked. So I think we're at that point where everybody needs to have a serious discussion again, that we need to have a forum that says, what do we want to go? What do we want to do? And how are we going to get there? Because it's obviously we can't continue in the way we are.
Yeah, and I totally agree. We want to start with, though, an education first. I mean, it's important that everybody understands where we're at. You know, we have a police force that is a fraction of what it was in 2008. I think everybody's heard that we have seven beats. We have one officer per beat each time. In 2008, we had two officers per beat. You know, so just having enough officers that you could put two officers on each beat, that's, you know, the opportunity to do a lot more during those given shifts with proactive policing, with beginning to do true community policing, which we are trying to do. But we're doing a lot of problem-oriented policing with the neighborhood policing unit.
Reacting to things.
Yeah, or trying to solve problems, you know, and as opposed to true community policing. And, you know, we need to try to work that out, and we need to find out how we're going to get there or if it's even important to the community. I agree with you. I think it is. But right now it's more anecdotal, just what you hear and what you read.
It is all anecdotal. In fact, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, so I want to engage much more deeply.
We're going to take a break. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, located on Hilltop Drive, right across from Sierra Gibbs, or Kitty Corner, 2225. Trustworthy, reliable, loose stones, any kind of thing that you could possibly want, and revamping your jewelry, a watch repair person that can take your watch apart from scratch and build it back up. Go check them out, Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back here on KCNR 1460.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
The name says it all. Veterans Diesel and Auto. When it comes to keeping your wheels rolling, you can depend on Justin to give you quality, guaranteed work. Customers on Yelp praise Veterans Diesel and Auto, saying it's excellent, honest, and fair repairs. Now, veterans, you can also receive an additional 10% off all labor costs on any car or truck repair. Veterans Diesel and Auto Repair, 5246 West Side Road. Look them up online by searching Veterans Diesel Reading, a veteran-owned local small business.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR1460. We were chit-chatting during the break, keeping Bobby busy. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. You know, if you're looking for quality, compassion, in-home health care where your people are the happiest, that's right, in-home, then you need to call Sharon Clark at 226-8350 and Home Helpers. It is the premier assistance agency, family health assistance agency you're going to find in Northern California. She handpicks the people that work for her. She handpicks the people that are going to be in your house. What can I say? It's short-term health care or long-term. It's up to you. Home Helpers, 226-8350 or readinghomehelpers.com, I think it is. Hey, we're here with Barry Tippin, city manager of Reading, and we're discussing the, you know, anecdotal evidence. And you're absolutely right. You know, today or this week, they're kicking off the counting homeless. And they're going from spot to spot to spot, counting homeless. And do we need something like that? But something that's a poll or something that's written that says, well, you had that one poll, but it was kind of, it was not a scientifically designed poll. But to say how people feel and are they ready to move forward, is that something that you could do? Or is that something we think we should do? Or should it be something allowing the people just to speak?
I think it's all of the above. You know, we're going to continue with some surveys. And we're going to, you know, we've contacted high schools, for instance. We're interested in talking to their American government classes and providing the kids a quiz that they can go home at night and talk to their parents and get information and then feedback to them. We're trying many different avenues to try to get the information out and also to get the feedback to us. So I think, you know, the more avenues that we provide for the opportunity to give us feedback and to learn, the better off we're going to be as a community.
I think you're correct. I think that we need to do something where the community has to buy in on this, because I frankly think that our community would feel such an uplift. We've got all these things that are going on downtown, all the positive things, but we need to take care of some of these things on the outskirts of this, where, you know, you're worried about walking from spot to spot. You're worried about leaving anything adrift in your car that they can see, because they'll break in and take it. I say they. We get guys who are arrested 57 times, which leads us to the next question. Okay, so Reading says, yes, we need to do something. We have a county over there that's had 7 years to come up with an idea, and Sheriff Basinko's come up with two or three ideas, only to have them shot down in the Board of Supervisors. How does Reading work with the county to as we work together?
Right. So we'll always work with the county. I mean, an example is the community prosecutor, where, you know, we engaged the county about the fact that there was no misdemeanors being prosecuted that were local misdemeanors, Reading Municipal Code, and started the dialogue about we need a community prosecutor. Thankfully, at this point in time, the Rancheria stepped up and funded that for at least the first year, maybe two. You know, those types of things will continue to go on. But you hit on the key point. What is the overall picture? Where are we headed on a long-term basis? You know, one thing I tell people is that a lot of what we're doing right now is not sustainable. You know, we have grant money. We have donation money. We have, you know,
money coming in.
We have
money from Bethel and the Rancheria and all these places.
Correct. And that's great. And I think it really provides us an opportunity to get a lot more done and actually show advancement and do good things in the public safety arena. But I think everybody recognizes that that's not a sustainable effort. And so we have to identify what do we want And what is that expectation from the community, and how are we going to achieve it? And certainly that is the prosecution, that is drug addiction, that is mental health services, and that is jail space, without any doubt. And those are all county jurisdictional elements.
And so far I haven't seen anything coming out of the county except this thing about taking $500,000 and moving more people out, but I'm not even sure how much of that's even been used, because that's a problem. We can have, I think, proactive policing and more police will help. I really do. And some people, well, we don't have any place to put them. No, but you've got patrols out. At least you're keeping them off balance. And if you know, if you can find some of the more serious ones to put away.
I think that you just hit on a great point, and that is, you know, when I'm talking about what does the community want, what do they want on a holistic basis? Do they just want more officers, or are they comfortable with what we're doing right now? Do they want more officers and jail space? They want more officers, jail space, and they want mental health services and additional prosecution. What is it that everybody wants? Once we know that and we have a good sense for that information, we'll be much better situated to figure out how to get there.
Yeah. Then you can come up with a plan. If this is the goal, here's the plan on how to get there.
Right.
It may take us a few years, but we can get there.
Right.
Money's always going to be the problem. When you ask for more money, or maybe you won't ask for more money. You know what? I wonder how many, because it's interesting, because we discussed this the other day, some of us, and said, are people, maybe people are just, yeah, it's okay. You know, everybody else is going through this right now. I'm satisfied with this. I find that hard to believe, but I think there's probably a percentage that is. It just says this is the way life's going to be. And that we just got to, you know, be more alert and lock our stuff up and you know, have the siege mentality.
Yeah, and I think that's where the key of the communication over the next 3 to 4 weeks comes from, is are we satisfied with that? Because the reality is, if we increase services from the city of Reading, it's either not doing other services or it's trying to identify additional funding sources. I mean, that's really the two options you have. It's not much in between.
No, there isn't. And you've, you know, the city has and it's got to be either you cut off some things. What part of what's out there right now has to go away? Or we need to raise funds in a different direction.
Correct.
When you look at things, when you're looking at it, you've been here for 13 years, and you're looking at this whole thing. Do you believe there's light at the end of the tunnel here? That what, you know, if you had your wishes here.
Well,
how would it go?
There's two answers to that. One is, as somebody who was born here and mostly raised here, you know, I have a personal opinion on where we should go and what we should be, which is different than the city manager's position. The city manager's position is, you know, we really need to make sure that we're matching real goals and attainable goals with the community. And that's the most important thing to me. If as a citizen, I want more. I want more of everything. I want more police officers. I want more jail space. I want more mental health services. I want addiction treatment centers. You know, I want probation to actually be able to be out and control the people who are on probation. I want all that stuff as a community member and somebody who lives here and loves the city. As a city manager, it's more important that we know what the community wants and we clearly articulate to them what we can achieve. And right now, I can tell you, I don't think those two things are aligned.
Well, I think we're in agreement with that.
Well, you know what? It is. And, you know, and I'm getting comments in here, things like, hey, it's simple. We want the criminals off the streets.
Agreed.
And then I'm bringing up is, well, we're spending a lot of money, the amount of money that's increased in the last 4 years in salaries to, and it's not to individuals. This is just the overall, you know, your portal, you know, it's gone up something like almost $9 million in just salaries.
Well, not just salaries. That's just benefits and salaries, pension costs, and everything else. I don't think it's just salaries.
It's got two different – you've got two different ones in there. And
right.
Maybe I'm just confused by it, but you've got your retirement costs, which have gone up.
Right. Unbelievably
much.
So.
Unbelievable. Yeah, if you look at it, it's just going straight up.
Yeah.
It's going straight up the wall.
Correct.
And the other ones are kind of like leveling, but the salaries have gone up $9 million, and then the retirement costs have been like – $10 million, $9 or $10 million, which everybody knows about that, unfunded liabilities and all these things. Are there, and right now, though, there are there are negotiations with the unions that are going on right now.
Correct.
Are those still going on?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a way to achieve some of the savings here?
So I can't go too far afield. The laws, you know, prevent me from doing much.
That.
But it's an opportunity to do some good in terms of addressing some of the increases in expenses, et cetera. That's always the case in any business.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a number of elements that we simply aren't going to get there from here. The amount of money that we've identified, which will be adjusted in February, but right now we've identified about a $25 million deficit over the next 5 years. It's not going to be achieved in any one way. That's a multifaceted approach, and we're working hard on that. But at the same time, we need to ask the question with public safety. Because
can you separate public safety from other things like that? And what I mean is, we know we have to do all these things, but public safety in the form of firemen, policemen, keeping the streets safe, and all this is frankly, you know, I love all my kids, but I love these two more kind
right.
of thing.
So, and that's a good question. So we have a $300 million budget, but only about $70 million of that is general fund, and of that general fund, there's a portion of it, like streets maintenance, that comes from gas tax that has to be used for streets. You can't use it for public mm-hmm. safety. And so I'm going to make this number up because I haven't done the calculations. But, you know, right now we spend probably about, 75 to 80% of all the general fund revenue that's, quote unquote, discretionary on mm-hmm. public safety. So there's not a lot left to do that, because you still have governmental functions. You have to have finance. You have to have purchasing. You have to have a city attorney's office. And people may want to debate that, which is fine. And people probably would say you don't need a city manager. Fine. I'm okay with that opinion. But the reality is our council has those positions and they have to pay for them. And so we already spend a huge amount proportionally of our available funds on public safety.
All right, we're going to take a break, and this portion of the show has been brought to you by Home Helpers. Go to homehelpersreading.com, and we'll be right back. KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it forever furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed, but after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Happy New Year from the McConnell Foundation. Our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. There's an African proverb that goes, "To go fast, go alone. To go far, go together." We look forward to going far in 2018 with our community partners in projects and programs in the areas of community vitality, education, trails, and open space. Our future is bright together. Let's get started.
County Supervisor Les Baugh here, reminding you to get your tickets for the annual Cottonwood Community Park Crab Feed, January 27th at the Cottonwood Community Center. It's all you can eat, fresh crab, homemade clam chowders, salad, bread, dessert, and coffee. No host bar at 5 p.m., dinner served at 6. Now, the tickets are just $45 and available in Cottonwood at Tri-Counties Bank and the Bean and Mercantile. Call Mary O'Keefe at 347-1230. Come on out, support the community center, and get your crabby on. We'll see you there.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR 1460-834.
Why wasn't there any music this time?
Well, surprise, that's okay.
I was trying to look something up for you. And
Carl and Linda Bott here. It's currently 38 degrees. Our temperatures today will be, our highs will go up to 50 and our lows of 36. Chance of showers today and tomorrow. Get ready for a complete day of rain.
Ooh. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Better known discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's Last Stronghold at Cypress Square Barbershop. Love that place. And speaking of Man's Last Stand, okay, no, I'm just kidding. Barry Tippins here, our city manager, who is in a battle. You know what? Do you ever feel occasionally that you're standing on the ramparts? And, you know, it's like, you know, Les Mis. You know, the guys behind you singing, la, 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 la. People are waving flags.
Maybe I should, but I don't.
Okay. Well, you know, you wanted this job.
Yeah, I mean, I've been assistant city manager for 10 years. I knew what was coming.
No surprises there.
Right. I would say no surprises, but limited surprises.
Limited surprises.
Yeah, so, you know, and I just thought, somebody told me the other day, you know, as many people know, I have an engineering background.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody told me the other day, it's like, you know, you're kind of approaching this like an engineer. You have a problem, systematically identifying solutions on a logic basis to try to find out where we're going. And I reflected on that and said, you know, that's probably true. And maybe that's what drove me to the job is really seeing and identifying a problem, a dilemma, and trying to solve it.
Well, you know, the fact is we've had this problem since AB 109. And let's just, you know, it started with AB 109, and then we got 47, just piled on. We can't get people to get to the help they need because we have no hammer over them because we can't keep them in jail. I mean, we can say anything we want, but still, you know, the system is not working the way it should be. But now we can't, you know, we can't cry over that anymore. We've been fighting it one way or the other. So now we've got to take positive steps forward. But you know, the community needs to come together this time.
Yeah, positive steps forward, or as you mentioned earlier, you know, settle into some sort of an acceptance. And I don't mean that in a negative way,
yeah,
because we'll continue to try to improve. We'll continue to work with the county. We will do everything we can, you know, within our resource restraints to continue to improve. But the reality is we settling into those expectations is okay.
Well, you know, and that's it. If people say, okay, city, we're okay with this, and the city's okay with this, you're going to continue to fight the battles, but
yep,
you're not going to, you know, it's you can only get – it's like when people complain to me and they're not prepared to do something about it, if you're not prepared to roll up your sleeves and do something about it, then don't complain to me anymore. You know, I mean – yeah, don't tell me that, oh, this didn't happen when you've known for weeks that you had to do this and you didn't do it. And the same thing happens again. I mean, that's not my problem then. You know, unfortunately, there's a great many people that really want this to move forward and realize it's going to take more assets. So the question is how do we get those assets? I mean,
yeah.
I know the economy is starting to recover, but I still, what's our tax flow, our income for the city? Is it going up? Is it staying the same?
Yeah, it's going up, and our budget does assume some increases. Right now, we're doing a little better than what our assumptions are. So, property tax is increasing, sales tax is going up a bit. So, you know, that's good news on the horizon. But when you look at the pension liability costs,
mm-hmm, oh,
it's not enough. And so that's where you still have this big dilemma. And I know, you know, one of the things people say is like, well, the rate of return on the pension fund was really, really good this last year. It was 11 or 13%. problem is they amortize that over 30 years. It just does not change your fundamental payment scheme on the short-term basis. And so even though all there are good signs in the economy, you know, it does not fundamentally change.
Doesn't fundamentally change things.
Correct.
Okay, yeah, because if things are going up 3% a year, which is usually what it looks like, that you're making 2% or even making 3%, you're not making any headway. Is it time for a citywide bake sale? How about property that we have here in the city?
Yeah.
Can't we sell that off? Is there things like that?
And we're making progress in that regard. But recall or think about property sales, that's one-time money. And so solving long-term solutions, I'm talking 10, 20 years, is not going to happen on property sales.
Right.
It may solve our five-year – it helps solve our five-year window, but it's not going to solve a long-term issue that we have. Fundamentally, the state has changed the rules. You know, the state, in my opinion, has effectuated the largest wealth transfer from communities to the state ever in the last 10 to 12 years. And that's not going to change. And so, you know, I don't think the state's going to come to our rescue, nor do I think the federal government's going to come to our rescue. So we have to grapple with that and decide what we're going to do about it.
Well, then I would say is that we need to do something about it. We as a community need to do something about it. We can't rely on money being donated to us from Bethel, McConnell, the Reading Rancheria. That's just going to get to a certain point and it stops. I mean, they can't afford to do it every year. So we've got to take charge. And I think if we've looked at everything from privatization, I think we need to look at everything and we need to present it to the people. Okay, this is what we can do. This is what we can do. This is what we can do. But still not going to get us there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and again, you know, this might be a little bit broken record, but you know, the requirement in my mind to match up our abilities as a government with the community's expectations is critical.
Here's a question. It's off, you know, it's off us a little bit. What's the difference between a mayor and a city manager? Some cities have a mayor and no city manager, and some cities have a city manager and a mayor, like Reading does.
Yeah, so there's five cities, I think, in the state of California that actually have what's called a strong mayor. And so that's the case where – remember that sitcom with Michael J. Fox where they had the New York mayor,
yeah.
Spin City?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a strong mayor. So
okay.
The strong mayor basically runs the day-to-day operations, and they bring in their own administrative staff. And so – you have L.A., San Jose, San Francisco, San Jose, Fresno, San Diego. Mm-hmm. I think those are the five that actually have a strong mayor system. And so every time you have a new mayor elected, they bring in all their own staff and they run the day-to-day in the city. Most of the cities, by a large percentage, have a mayor and city manager form of government or a city council and city manager form of government. And the difference is, in our case, the city council – all has equal voting rights. The mayor doesn't have any additional voting rights. They're more of a figurehead.
It's an honorary.
They also have signature authorization,
right?
You know, to sign contracts and that sort of stuff. But they don't have any additional authority. And then that five-member panel hires a city manager to run the day-to-day operations and business of the city and to effectuate their policies.
Because the city councils in most of these cases are part-time.
Correct.
And even though taking more and more of their time, it is a part-time position.
It's considered a part-time position, but I would agree with you. In the last 3 years, it's been
really
much more requirement on their time than past.
Okay, what do you see? What do you see here this year coming up, Barry?
Well, the my focus right now is this communication.
Right.
You know, community engagement. We talked about this at the city council at the last meeting. We sent out a press release last Friday. I'll put a plug. We're looking for opportunities to go talk to the public, whether it's Rotary, whether it's Lions, whether it's just, you know, a neighborhood watch group that wants to talk to me or the chiefs, fire chief, police chief. And we're encouraging that. We want to have that dialogue because that's the only way that we're really going to have a true sense of the community is to reach out and talk to as much of the community as we possibly can, which is a little difficult, you know, given, you know, a 90,000 population. But we also have the marijuana ordinance will be coming back to the city council probably in early March for their consideration. So that's an important element. We'll be heading into some budget discussions in June. I'm reversing the budget process so that we actually talk to the council in advance of the staff preparing the budget so we get a better sense of direction from the council. In the past, we've kind of held on to an old tradition where revenues were exceeding expenses. And so then by the time you got done with the budget, then you went to the council and say, hey, what do you want to do with this extra money? Well, now we go and say, we don't have any extra money, but if we did, what would you like to do? And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So we're going to start up front with the council and say, what are your priorities? What do you want us to do?
Where do you want to spend the money?
And then we'll go develop some straw proposals. They will give us direction. Then we'll develop the budget. So that'll be coming up in the June timeframe. We're going to have a public safety workshop probably February 22nd, which would be a third in the series, if you will. And a lot of that is going to be feedback from this four-week effort in communication and engagement with the community mm-hmm. so that we can provide the council.
This is going to be a large scale. This is going to be a large scale meeting then.
Yeah, more likely than not. Yeah. My hope is yes. My hope is that the community engages and they can come and talk to the council about their desires.
Well, we need to get people engaged again because people right now are kind of like, they're almost, I think, in many ways getting numb. I think it's, we need to scrape that off and say, look, here's a chance to do something and make a huge decision in our community.
Yeah. One of the things that was clear, when, I applied for this job was the community wants to be heard. And we're trying to give them that opportunity.
I like the idea, and it's put a little feather, or not a feather in my cap, but it's made me think about us having a neighborhood meeting and bringing the chief, Carl, the chief, Barry, and the fire captain.
Yeah,
Jerry. And have mm-hmm. everybody up and down our street in our neighborhood come to our house, and let's just have a more intimate, small gathering of, because we know that we have an active street.
We do.
And very so they really reach out to the
and
community.
And eclectic street.
From very eclectic.
Liberal Democrats to people of the other persuasion. I don't know if we need all three of them, but we'll get at least one of them in there. So,
we're going to take a break. That note. We'll be right back. Casey and our 1460.
The average adult has issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This is Alan Gordon, CEO of Coachmaster Collision. It's been 2 years since Don officially retired. Although his presence is missed, his legacy lives on through Coachmaster's personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job. If you've been in to see us in the last 20 years, then we've already met. I will continue to provide the personal and quality service that the North 8th has come to expect from Coachmaster. Coachmaster is and will continue to be the leader in advanced technology in the collision repair industry, including laser, 3D frame alignment, and computerized paint matching. After all, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott.
Song two, Streets of Fire. No time, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction, the largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California. Wow. When you think about that, started right here in Redding 10 years ago and now teaches in over 30 counties. If you're looking for complete CCW training, advanced pistol, defensive pistol, tactical carbine, this and many more classes, all at Northern Firearms Instruction, check out their website at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. We're here with Barry Tippin, Redding city manager. Richard Kern was in here yesterday from city of Shasta Lake. What we haven't taken into account is the amount of money that could come in from marijuana. As he said yesterday, they expected $150. It came in at $450, $300,000 more than they thought. We have a capacity here for more. And, oh, by the way, he also said his other industrial park is bought up. Will the city look and will the city be looking at with a favorable eye of using Stillwater as part of a marijuana production facilities out there? Do you think?
Yeah, I think what the council has said, sort of anecdotally, because we don't have an action on this, but council members individually have talked about this. If the right company comes in with the right capital and the right business model and meets the definition of the manufacturing, I think the council would consider it, yes.
Okay. Do you think it's going to pass in March?
I do.
Selling of marijuana?
I do.
The fact is that, and this is why I asked Richard yesterday, and you and I talked about during the break, so the selling of marijuana, law enforcement considers it a gateway drug. It's something else we're putting out there that can harm citizens. And we're doing this because of money, or is there another reason?
Well, obviously, each council member is going to have their own thought process.
And I'm going to ask every council member. Yeah,
I will tell you my thought process. My thought process is that, the state of California voted to legalize this. We're a government agency within the state of California. When you couple that with the fact that, the use of recreational use of marijuana doesn't go away if we say it should. If we say we're not going to do it, it doesn't go away. The moving forward with an ordinance that is highly regulated and it requires permit fees of a substantial nature such that we can actually proactively regulate it through code enforcement activities is a better way to look at solving that problem than banning it.
Okay. And it's a very pragmatic way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And which is, if we can work, I think Kern says we're going to have the devil pay its due by taking money from it. Will all this money go into public safety, or is this money going to go into just to the general fund?
That hasn't been determined yet. We have not even talked to the council about taxation and what that would look like. That'll be for a November ballot measure discussion. My personal opinion is that it should be. This is a long-term tax. Theoretically, unless the feds do something different, it's a decades-long tax. And with that in mind, it should be a general tax so that, the council can put it to use in manners that are beneficial to the community over decades, not over 2 years.
You said November to vote on it. Are you talking about because they're taxes, so the community has to vote, see how much we're going to tax marijuana?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
it requires a ballot measure.
All right.
And the voters have to say, yes, we want to tax the marijuana. It's already taxed by the state, but we have to tax it locally.
Stillwater. That would be, I've been told that could become an industrial center of marijuana.
Could be. And, you know, I think that the council would be willing to consider the right proposals. I mean, we've had proposals in the past that I don't think were right. But I think, if, you know, coming forward with the amount of money that might be involved, the council is likely would consider that.
You know, well, it makes sense to me. I mean, it's just sitting there, so let's do something about it.
You know, and I understand this, and I understand pragmatism, and frankly, as a more of a libertarian than other things, if you want to put something in your system, that is absolutely fine with me, as long as it doesn't go to kids and it doesn't cause me to have to pay for it. If they're going to pay for it, then, you know, you want to put it in your system, fine, but I just look at the increased problems they're having in Colorado, Washington, and Oregon as far as the driving. They're saying that for every dollar they make, they're having to put out $2 for people in lost wages, people that are having problems with drugs and all this. Have y'all been told that at all?
Yeah, of course. And I think there's some fundamental differences between Colorado and California. The ballot measure that was passed allowed for the regulation creation by the state of California, which is a much more rigorous regulation than in Colorado. That's not to say we're not going to have some of those problems, mm-hmm. but the state has definitely shown a tendency in their regulations to want to regulate it much more so than Colorado. And I would expect that if we have problems, they'll modify the regulations. And I think that's a good thing from a statewide perspective.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones. Jim, you're live on the air. Do you have a question for our guest, Barry Tippin?
Yes, I do. Hey, what are they going to do with all the employees that can't pass the drug test after you get, they go out and do these drugs and everything, and are they going to unemployment all these people, and where are they going to get the new help from?
That's a good question, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question.
It is a great question because
it's one that everybody's struggling with in California. So first and foremost, City of Reading is a drug-free environment, and that includes marijuana. So in order to be hired by the City of Reading, you have to have a clean drug test. And then a number of our positions have mandatory random testing. And if they test positive for THC marijuana, then they can be let go or disciplined in various forms.
Are these I understand about police and fire. I know they're getting tested all the time.
Linemen. Utility workers.
Management?
Management is not. And so management and engineers, and that's, you know, pretty standard protocol across. They are tested to get hired. They're not tested on a random basis. That's usually associated with job performance requirements, driving big trucks, carrying firearms, you know, those types of things where but any employee can be tested if they're thought to be under the influence mm-hmm. at work.
Yeah.
So anybody can be tested into that regard.
Whether it's alcohol or anything.
Yeah. Now, right. I will tell you that one of the things that I think we really seriously have to look at is we have a applicant who comes in and has been doing illegal activity, and now they want to work for us.
Yeah, how's that going
to
work?
You know, and so my guess is that we need to modify that, and we tell them, okay, but know that, you know, we're going to test you in a year or whatever. Because when you work for us, you can't imbibe.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. Hey, I've been doing this legally.
Right, and if they're the best applicant, and we don't get a lot of applicants. I mean, you know, in a lot of positions, we don't get the best.
You've got a lot of places open. I see, you know, because there's, you know, you've got jobs open over there like that.
We have a lot of job openings, yes.
Yep. Barry Tippin, thanks a lot. We're going to be seeing a lot of things happening. This is just a kickoff, and frankly, today, of the education portion of to our community by everybody that's involved about how do we move forward. Or if we're happy the way we are, then we need to say that too. I think we're going to find is that the majority by far are going to say we need some changes here. So
yeah. If they want to hear from us, contact
right.
us and we'll be there.
Okay, and that could be a group as small as 5 or a group as large as 2,000.
Absolutely.
You'll be there.
Yep.
Barry, thanks a lot.
Of course, thank you.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you next month.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll get you back again. And you know, there's a lot of other things that are going on tomorrow. We got an open date, so what I'm going to try and do, I'm going to call the city council, one of the city council, see if I can get one of them to swing through here. Maybe I can get the mayor or something to talk about what's going on with the questions that are happening in our town. Or it's really hard to get the board of supervisors on. I wonder why. And then Thursday we have Ed Roman, and he's going to be in here, one of the guys that is huge in public safety. And we're going to talk to him and see what he thinks about a lot of the stuff that's going on.
I think you have the fire chief next week.
Fire chief next Monday. We'll get the chief back in. We had we missed the chief this time because he was on a number of different assignments going out there. Maybe we can roll him back in too, so we can talk about this and get it from the city manager, the fire chief, and the police chief.
You need to get a highway patrol guy in here.
Well, we're working that one too. Yeah. Anyway, okay, everybody, have a great day. And like I said, tomorrow, be watch out there for the rain and everything. It's going to be a little rough, especially if you're going up in the mountains.
Thanks for joining us. We know that you have a choice, and we appreciate you being with us here on KCNR 1460 AM. Soon, in the next probably 6 months, to go with FM.
We're working it. We're working it. It's good guys against bad guys. Which are you?
In the news on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR Shasta Redding is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew in a newly remodeled store, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Gonna stand my
ground. Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. An earthquake that struck off the coast of Alaska early today has been followed by dozens of aftershocks.
They've ranged from about a 3 to the 5s, like low 5s.
The earthquake promoted a tsunami warning at the time, prompted one, I should say. It was canceled after a few intense hours, allowing people to return home from those shelters. What is not over, says U.S. Geological Survey geophysicist Zachary Reeves, the likelihood of more.